scripture reading this morning would be from Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to see you. And some new faces back there. Please make sure afterwards you stay for just a few minutes. I'd love to get to know you and get to meet you. But nonetheless, I pray that you feel welcomed here so far. I pray that you're encouraged so far. This is a great bunch of people here in West Fayetteville. God created the church for us to work together. Right? It's not, you don't have to do it on your own. And arguably, I don't think you could, or I can't. I can't. I speak for myself, right? I couldn't make it. If it was just me, I couldn't make it. We have a family here, we have a group here who loves each other, and we have the same end goal, which is to help each other to bear one another's burdens, so that in the end, we can indeed make it to heaven together. Well, as you guys know, I've been on this series of evangelism, but in lieu of some wonderful news that I received, this upcoming promotion that I had waited a long, long time. To be honest, more than even gratefulness and thankfulness and joy from this news, it's been relief. My plan was, in the 2 years, when the Army said a failure to progress and they kicked me out, that I was graciously going to accept my severance package and start my unemployment and come up with plan B. I pray that God would allow me to not worry so much about that. That's still a wonderful blessing. It's a lot of money in a severance package. I know that God would still provide, but I didn't want that option. I didn't want to be kicked out. I didn't want that. But he has answered. They picked up 4 this month from my field, and I made the list. So on October 1st, I now have the option and the ability. I have all these new opportunities where I can stay in for as long as I wish. It's wonderful. It's been such a relief. So this morning, instead of talking about evangelism, I've changed gears with this news I received on Friday. And we're going to talk about the goodness of God. We know the scripture says every good and perfect gift comes from our Father of light. It comes from the Father in heaven. In the book of Matthew chapter 6, during Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about God's wonderful care for all of creation. From the flowers in the field, to the birds, to the animals, and to us, the crown of his creation. And how much he cares for us. There in chapter 6 and verse 31, Christ said, "Do not worry about it." Christ said, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Before we continue on this lesson, if you would, before we get into this, let's pray together. Let's see if my slide, but there it is. Okay, if you would, please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you now, thanking you so much for your goodness toward us. Dear God, you continually treat us better than we deserve. Your mercy and your grace and your promises that you have given us in your kingdom are beyond our imagination, beyond anything we could possibly ask or plead for. Dear God, we pray that we would continue to grow in our trust in you, we would continue to grow in the thankfulness for what we do have, that in all things our prayer, whether in trials or in blessings, that in all these things we would see your hand working in our lives, that we would learn to be grateful, that as your Apostle Paul wrote to us, that we would learn to rejoice even in trial. Dear God, we pray always that you'd be with this body here at West Fayetteville. May we continue to grow unto love and good works. May this community here know that we are your disciples through the love that we demonstrate one for another. Dear God, we thank you above all things for the pinnacle of your grace toward us, and that being your Son, for his willingness to die for us. We pray that you would continue to strengthen us in the inner man. May we continue to lay down the sins and the weights that hold us back from running this race with endurance. We thank you for our Savior, for your Son. We offer this prayer through his name, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we know, and months ago when I got to teach on the authority of God, we know that God is sovereign. He's sovereign over everything. He's sovereign over all of his creation. He's sovereign over all the nations. He's sovereign over every institution. And he's sovereign over every single person. And through this idea of the goodness of God, or you might have heard the providence of God, God always accomplishes his will. God never fails. If God sets out to do something, it happens. If God promises something, it's as good as if it already happened. That's the type of God we have. Divine providence is the governance of God by which he, with his unmatched wisdom and knowledge, and with his unmatched love, cares for and directs all things to fulfill his will. One of the greatest examples of God's providence that we can read about is the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, right? God allowed, if you will, and I use that word loosely, but God allowed Joseph's brothers to sell him into slavery. And then as Joseph was bought into Potiphar's house and is working his way up there, right? God allowed again Potiphar's wife to lie about him. He got thrown into the prison, right? You think, how in the world is this the providence of God? How in the world is this working in the life of someone who's trying to be righteous? But we know the end of the story, right? We can read it. God allowed for these evil things to happen. And these were evil, sinful things against Joseph and against God. But why? Well, because it was all in God's plan that Joseph would eventually become second in command of all of Egypt. And through his position, and through the insight that God gave him in deciphering the Pharaoh's dream, he saved not only his family, but millions in Egypt, and millions who came into Egypt to survive. And at the end of Joseph's life, he can see, what all of you meant for evil against me, God turned it around. God meant it for good. Our God is so good to this world that he gives his goodness and shows his providence upon every single person. Even the most ungodly, even the most evil person in this world is still benefiting, is still reaching and reaping benefits of having such a loving and generous God upon this earth. Acts chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. In past generations, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Yet, he did not leave himself without witness, and that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and with gladness. And a similar sentiment here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may prove yourself to be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Why should we love our enemy? Why should we love those who treat us poorly? Because, thank God, he does the same thing, right? For God causes his Son to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. Our God is so good to us as mankind that he allows the resources and the tools of prosperity to come into every single person's life, regardless of their morality. Can you imagine if we had to live righteous lives for God to bless us? This world would be in ruin. It'd be poverty. The whole world would be stricken with poverty. But our God has decided, in his great love, to provide equal opportunity toward even the sinner to prosper. We can observe that God generously distributes just by observing our world today. He genuinely distributes intelligence, wisdom, talent, strength, wealth, opportunities, and all other resources to all of mankind. But even in this wonderful goodness that God shows to all of mankind, there's a unique one, a special one, if you will. There's a specific providence of God that he does toward those who love him, toward those who fear, to those who strive to follow his will and to keep his commandments. There's a unique providence, if you will, that he shows, a special one to such people. We see in Proverbs 23 and verse 6, "Certainly goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling will be in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 31, beginning in verse 19, "How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have performed for those who take refuge in you before the sons of mankind. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of mankind. You keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues." There's a way that God preserves us as Christians that's unique, it's special, it's different than he does for all of mankind. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, which is our scripture reading this morning, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God." And let's remember the story of Joseph. All things work together for good. Joseph could see that, but boy, there was sometimes great evil done against him. There were unbelievable trials and tribulations and temptations that Joseph had to go through to get to his place that God intended for him to be. So even in these things, right? Even in trials and tribulations, this might be the good things that God has put upon you. You might not be able to know it now, and I pray like Joseph, at the end of your life, you might be able to look back and see, ah, even in this trial, this was God being good to me. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God blesses those who strive to be faithful to him. When anything good happens in your life, you need to stop and thank God. But let's not limit God and think that we as Christians really receive some special providence in a financial way. That's not the case. This isn't the providence that I'm talking about. The providence that we receive as faithful Christians to our God is primarily spiritual in nature. And arguably, that is the end result in any of the blessing of this type of providence from God. There are countless ways, I'm sure, that God demonstrates his goodness toward Christians that we can think of. I've come up with five that were off the top of my head, but I'm sure with more time and study, your list could be way longer than this. But there are so many ways that God shows his special providence, this unique providence toward Christians. One big way, right, is he provides forgiveness of sins through the blood of his Son. This is a special measure of the goodness of God that we have. God, it says, will direct all our steps. Right? He leads the path. He creates a path for us to follow so that we don't stumble. We're told to trust in the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to follow his teachings and precepts. And when we do this, he leads us, right, down a smooth path that we can travel. Our Savior, the trailblazer, right? The author or the captain who has blazed the trail that we can follow. God also, for Christians, has provided a way of escape from temptation. He will always provide us a way out. It's a promise that we have as Christians. God will also help you in your times of need. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. Whatever mourning, whatever it is you're going through, God will give you a special measure of his goodness as his follower. He will relieve you and comfort you in a way that the world doesn't get. And God will eventually provide you with untold blessings in the end. His promise that he has for that comfort, that peace that you can have, that even if your life was to be taken tomorrow, even your life taken today, you have comfort, you have peace, knowing where you'll be. This type of goodness, this type of providence of God, is special to us. But in this, of course, God's providence toward us as Christians is not an excuse to be lazy. Of all the things in the Bible, it's a commandment to hold a job. It's a commandment to work. It's a commandment not to be a busybody, right? Wasting people's time. It's funny to think of this sometimes, but God's providence doesn't mean that we can be lazy, right? We can just lay around and, oh, God will provide, right? That's just against what the Bible teaches us. Let's look at this. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning verse 10. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now we command and exhort such persons in the Lord Jesus Christ to work peacefully and eat their own bread. We forget. We're commanded not to be lazy. You're commanded to be productive. Do something. And not only this, there's other passages, right? Why are we to work? Right? No longer steal, but now work and labor so that you might be able to bless those who are in need. This is what we ought to do as Christians. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Right? There's still an active part of this, of God's providence. God shows this special providence to Christians because we're doing something. We're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be provided to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Laziness is profoundly and clearly an unchristian value. Laziness dishonors the power and strength that has come within us, to dwell within us, to strengthen the inner man. God is indeed ultimately the one through whom all blessings come from. As we read, every good and perfect gift comes from our Father. Every single one. And without him, it doesn't matter how hard you work, if God decides that you don't prosper, you don't prosper. But he has always, in all dispensations, from the very beginning, he assigned Adam work to do. Right? He gave him tasks to accomplish. Even in the garden with unlimited food and resources, Adam was still tasked with tending to things. God has always expected his followers to be good, honest, hard-working people. Also, God's providence, this special providence that he gives to Christians, is always to benefit one's spiritual life. Always. And not necessarily material. Now, sometimes God can use the material blessing to help one's spiritual life. But that is just something to an end means. The end means with our God is always to strengthen you. If his providence is to take away money from you, take away opportunities so that you might reach out to him, that you might realize who you are and who he is, then he'll do it. All things he does are ultimately for your spiritual growth. We know in Proverbs, if you know this, Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 7, it reads here, two things I have asked of you, he's talking to God in prayer, do not refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion. Why? So that I will not be full and then deny you and say, who is the Lord? And that I will not become so impoverished and steal and profane the name of my God. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Even if it is financially that God has benefited you, the providence of God is that its result would be your spiritual growth. That's always God's intent. It always has been. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. And not only this, but we also celebrate in our tribulations. Right? Celebrate in our tribulations. What a foreign concept. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. Right? Again, it's very easy for me when God clearly blesses me with something good, right, for me to stop and thank God. But I realize in this, I need to thank Him when things aren't good, when I feel like I'm being tested, when I have trials, various trials, right? Even in this, I thank God because His end result is to strengthen me, to make me a better person, to make me a better brother and sister in Christ. That's why He does these things to us. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Right? It's like exercise. Right? No one wants to work out. I hate working out. I hate going to the gym. But I do it. Why do I do it? To get a result. To gain endurance. To gain strength. That's why I do it. That's why God tests us. That's why He makes us go through trials that sometimes seem unfair. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God, through His providence, sometimes makes bad things happen to you, so that you become more like Christ. It's a bizarre concept. None of us want it, right? But that's God's providence toward us. And this special providence, especially as Christians, that He gives us. He sometimes puts things in our way for us to grow, to overcome, so that we might be more like His Son. The providence of God is an absolutely wonderful blessing that is working toward our ultimate good, and that is the salvation of our souls, the betterment of our souls. But to ensure that you receive His special providence, the one that's really important, you must first seek God and seek after the things of His kingdom above all else. In all situations, in all choices in your life, you must learn to trust God, to follow His teachings, and in all things, good or bad, give Him thanks. The truth is, of course, that no one can speak with certainty about when or how God exercises any of His providence or goodness for us. Many times it is not till the end of one's life that you can even start to see the hand of God. You can even start to look back on your life and see how God has shaped so many things for you. But in all these situations, we need to have the mindset of Mordecai. In the book of Esther, as you hopefully all know, Queen Esther learns of this evil man, Haman, his plot, right? He was upset that Mordecai would not bow down to him, and so he manipulated King Xerxes to a decree to all the countries, all those 127 provinces. King Xerxes owned a huge part of the whole world, a third of the whole world. And he convinced the king that on a certain day, coming up soon, that all the Jews were to be wrangled up, didn't matter, old, young, newborn, all to be killed, all to be destroyed. Right? And when he heard this news about this, Mordecai heard this news, he ripped his clothes, he put on sackcloth and ashes upon his head. And he wept and he screamed. And Esther, who was in the palace, heard of this. And so she sent one of her servants and said, go summon Mordecai and ask him, why are you doing this? And she tried to send him clothes to, clean yourself up. She didn't understand what was going on. And Mordecai let her know, have you not heard what's going to happen? You have to. You have to. There's no other option, Esther. You have to go before the king and see if he will show mercy to us. But she knew, as was the law, right? If she were to approach the king without him raising his scepter to her, if she goes to the king without being summoned, it can mean instant death for her. And at this point, it had been over 30 days. The king had not seen her for over 30 days, and she was terrified. If I go to his presence unannounced, it may cost me my life. But what is Mordecai, as he's talking through the servant, as they go back and forth? What is it that Mordecai says to her in his wisdom and his trust in God? He said to her, Esther, do not think that you, there in the king's palace, can escape any more than all the Jews in the land. For if you keep silent at this time, liberation and rescue will indeed arise for the Jews from some other place. but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows this, whether or not you have obtained such royalty for such a time as this? Right? Ultimately, we have to just trust in God. When you read the book of Esther, there's nothing miraculous in the 10 chapters in that book. There's nothing miraculous or supernatural that God did. But verse after verse, you can see the hand of God. You can clearly see in the story of Esther how God's providence was there all along. That every single thing, every single trap that was set against Mordecai, every trap against Esther, God turned that very trap into the person who set the trap. Every time, God's providence was there to fulfill his will, which was what? Ultimately to provide a remnant through whom Christ would come. It was all about our salvation. All the providence of God has always been about our salvation. So in all this, brothers and sisters, all of this, if nothing else, if we learn nothing else from this, I pray that all of us learn and strive to grow in your thankfulness for the goodness of God, for the thankfulness of the obvious benefits and blessings he gives us. But may we, as strangely as this world would see it, may we grow in our thankfulness in the trials. May we grow in our thankfulness for tribulations and hardships that we go through, knowing that God has deemed us worthy enough and has strengthened us to know that we can overcome. Right? He will discipline us so that we can gain this endurance, so that we can be better servants for each other, better servants to our Father. Again, if you this morning are not a Christian, if you this morning have not put on Christ in baptism, then you don't get this special providence of God. You don't get those promises that we talked about. You don't get the forgiveness of sins. You don't get the hope of one day being in heavenly bliss with our Father forever. You don't get that. All your hope, all your joy lies just within this world. And when you're dead, all your hope, all your joy, all your peace is over. So this morning, if you have decided, if you can, and you want to become a Christian, we pray that you take that opportunity. The water behind us, it's at least lukewarm. I tested it this morning. It's not warm. I'll have to check the heater. It should be warmer than that. But it's ready. It's ready. Right? You will survive the plunge, I promise. Right? If you're ready, if you haven't become a Christian yet, we have the opportunity. We'll take the time so that you can start your journey, so that you can start receiving this hope and this peace and this joy that God provides you that surpasses our understanding, our understanding of this world. That's what he wants for you. And if you are a Christian, but you've fallen away, and we can help you, right? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why we're here. You can't do it alone, and you're not expected to do it alone. That was never the plan. We're here to support one another. So if there is any way, whether we pray on your behalf, if there's any way we can support you, right, whether it's accountability, in any way that we can to help support you, to hold up your hands, as they did with Moses in the desert, right? There's something we can do to bear your burden, to help you make it at the end. We pray that you would let somebody know, let us know, so that we can help you. Because it's just a matter of time until I will be the help, right? And I hope that you would help me the same. So brothers and sisters, if you are subject, if there's anything that we can do to help you on your spiritual journey with our God, we pray that you would let us know as we stand together and sing.